Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Cone and Kruger. I'm Grant Cone. That's Larry Kruger. And we're going to start right away with the super chat from Corey Soto, who says Niner news is boring right now. Let's talk about some drama. Dak isn't going to last the season, and the Niners will be playing Trey Lance week 7. I love it. Let's start right there. My question for you, since we have nothing else to talk about today, will the Niners end up regret trading Trey Lance?
I don't think they're going to regret trading Trey Lance, because I think it's going to still take a while. Because, like, by the time Trey Lance is ready to roll, they will know that they would not have kept their jobs if they had gone with Lance. So I would say, I do think Trey Lance, I'm in the camp that believes that Trey Lance can play. And I really think it's just a matter of time before he shows that he can play. But to what level, how long? I'm thinking it, you know, it took Alex Smith, Grant, until Harbaugh showed up. That was 8 years. I would say it's going to take Trey at least 5, and he's almost there, right? But I do believe in him. I really do. I don't think playing quarterback is rocket science or anything super complicated. I think if you do have the desire to be good, and you're smart enough and you're athletic enough, it's just a matter of time. And I believe he's smart enough, athletic enough, wants to be good. So it's just a matter of time.
I think they're going to regret trading Lance, and I think they're going to regret it this year. Now, if Purdy stays healthy like he did all of last year, then they won't. But quarterbacks tend to get hurt. Niner quarterbacks tend to get hurt. If Purdy goes down for a month and Josh Dobbs just isn't good enough, which I think both you and I wonder about, or Brandon Allen isn't good enough, I think Trey Lance would have been good enough. I mean, he wasn't good enough to be the franchise quarterback right away, but he never had a game as bad as Joshua Dobbs had last year. Joshua Dobbs had some doozies last year. Trey's never played like that. Trey didn't get benched. He just got hurt. And in the preseason last year, on his final game, he actually looked pretty good. So if they have to start Josh Dobbs for 3 or 4 games and he's losing them, yeah, I think they'll regret it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I actually think Tanner Mordecai might be something. So I'm kind of holding that hope that Mordecai beats out Dobbs and Allen. But I'm with you as far as the first thought of that, which is that Dobbs and Allen are just not good enough to win with. I don't think they are. And I do agree. You know, it was more about what it was about the structure of the NFL with the rookies and what they were going to have to pay Trey. That otherwise the Niners could have been more than patient. They could have waited it out. They could have waited out Trey, but they just couldn't afford to because his price was going from 5 to 9 to 17 on the track it was on. And it's still on that track. So he's going to have to be kind of like on a different track before they would be interested again. You know what I mean? He would have to be cut loose and just a street free agent, and you pay him whatever you can negotiate. Then I could see the Niners showing interest in him in the future. But the way his price tag was going up because of the way the CBA was written, they had to separate.
Yeah. Invader Niner says Lance doesn't have it. No agility. Arm is overrated. Accuracy isn't good. Can't make the layups. Yeah, well, wait till you see Josh Dobbs in action. That's what we're talking about here. I'm not saying he's better than Brock Purdy, but like,
right?
You know, that 2021 week one, he played in the rain. Purdy struggles in the rain. And week two, he got hurt. So, I mean, he didn't have that incredible first impression that Brock Purdy had. But I'm just telling you, OTAs and minicamp weren't Purdy for the backup quarterbacks. It didn't look good.
And also, I mean, you know, I agree with Invader here where he says that Lance thus far, I mean, based on what he's seen, doesn't have it. No agility. He's not the quickest guy. The arm strength, definitely very overrated. The accuracy, I would say, I couldn't say it isn't good. I would say it's spotty. Like, some of his passes were incredible. Some of them were awful. And can't make the layups, I think, is a fair criticism. If you said every time you can't consistently make the layups, which at this level, I guess there's some expectation, but that you are going to make the layups. But it's too bad. It's too bad that he came along at a time where there was no minor league system because he had no experience and there was no way to get any, and there's still no way to get any. And so how does a guy like this who's got talent get a bill? You know, you need experience to get better. How do you get experience without being better? You know, he's in that catch 22 and there's nowhere for him to develop.
Yeah, I mean, he's been developing in Dallas, and it's hard. Look, Josh Dobbs can hit the layups. It's not much more he can hit. Intermediate, deep, I don't think so.
Just go watch the Bear game. Go, I mean, watch, I'm just telling Bear you,
it's
game.
Bad. Yeah, I mean, he can hit bad. The little checkdowns. Other than that, he's pretty useless. Lance, in his second career start, went 16-23 against an NFL defense. So to say what he can and can't do, I still think it's hard to say that. And I don't think they had to get rid of him. He wasn't that expensive. They felt that he was a distraction. It was like the reason that Tim Tebow couldn't be in the NFL anymore. It's like, look, man, you didn't say anything wrong. You mean well, but you're the biggest story on the team, and we don't want our backup quarterback to be a story. So you got to go, and we're going to go with Brandon Allen, who no one cares about. Is that a good reason to move on from a guy? Well, if they can win without Brock Purdy when they need to win without Brock Purdy, sure.
Brandon Allen's like 2-9 or whatever in his career. He's not, you know, I don't know. If there's a lot of people with confidence in Brandon Allen, I'd love to know what that's based on, because he hasn't done it necessarily. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not sure. They didn't give Dobbs the kind of money where if Mordecai or Allen somehow, the way the money is structured with these quarterbacks, they could make a move on any of them. If they liked Mordecai, they don't have to stay with Dobbs. They're not paying Dobbs even what they paid Darnold last year.
Okay.
Dobbs is making like 2 and change. I think
this is a Mordecai question for you.
Okay.
Remember when Brock Purdy first got to the Niners, and recently Kyle Shanahan said, I knew it right away. The best quarterback on the field. I knew it. Okay.
Right.
So Kyle can see it. We know it only takes him a couple weeks. If Tanner is the best backup on the team, will Kyle have the guts to make him the backup?
I know. That's a great question. That is a great question, because he didn't do that with Purdy. Even though he claims afterwards that he knew early on that Purdy was Purdy, or that Purdy was legit, let's just say. But he didn't. He let it play itself out. But in this situation, but there was a sizable investment there. You know, they couldn't just go away from Trey Lance that quick, right? They They just told Jed, hey, this is our guy. So, but there's no commitment like that to Dobbs or to Allen. That's really all we're talking about, right? Is could Mordecai beat out Dobbs or Allen?
Yeah, if he looks good. I mean,
I think to me,
would you have the guts to go with 24-year-old Brock? And you know, yeah. Mordecai's older than Brock.
Is he really?
He's I think he's like a month or two older than Brock. So are you cool with going with the two young guys? That'd be pretty cool.
I would say this. Let's see who moves the team. To me, there's one part of practice that matters, and that is the move the team drill. Like the rest of it's just like, it doesn't really matter. It's like good day, bad day, whatever. Do you move the team down the field in the move the team drill? And then in the preseason, do you move the team down the field and do you score points? That's what I want out of the quarterback position. So I would say any quarterback that moves the team in the move the team drill and in the preseason deserves the job. Any quarterback, whoever moves the team.
Mark MC says, I still pound the table for Trey Lance talking to buddies about the Niners. Mahomes isn't a timing quarterback either. Kyle didn't want Mahomes for this reason. Imagine Kyle running Mahomes up the middle. Ha.
Interesting. I hated the call. And we talked about it a lot, but I hated that call. What game was that? What game was it? Seattle?
Yes. Week two.
Ran him up the middle. Man, that was...
I still predict that Lance is going to end up on the Chiefs, developing under Andy Reid and behind Patrick Mahomes, and that will sort of rehabilitate his image and develop him. Well, we'll see what happens.
I think that'd be great. That'd be great. Or, you know, any place where he could sit and watch in a good offense with a good play caller, I think is a good spot for him.
They got Carson Wentz right now as the backup. Lance went to the same school as Carson Wentz. He's about 10 years younger or something. Could work. Okay.
So the Dallas fan who started this conversation, you're not of a believer that he's going to make it happen in Dallas, huh?
Is he even the backup right now, or is it Cooper Rush?
No, it's Cooper Rush.
So I don't really know what the plan is in Dallas. It seems like I have no idea what's going on with them in Dallas. Jerry Jones made a trade. I don't know if Mike McCarthy was alerted about it or if he signed off on it, but I don't know what's going on in Dallas.
You're initiating today. So sometimes I initiate, sometimes you initiate. This week, Grant's initiating. So all that means is it starts on his channel and he kind of poses the questions. But let me ask you one question, because I think the audience would like to hear what both of us have to say on this. And I don't know that I know what I'm going to say on this. If Brock Purdy, knock on wood, there's wood right here in the studio. Brock Purdy, knock on wood, but he gets hurt in week one. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but he gets hurt in week one. And it's not one of these, he'll be back in a week and a half. Go with what you got. He's going to be out. He's not going to be out for the year, let's just say, but let's just say he's going to be out till Christmas. So he's basically going to be out for the year. What do the Niners do at quarterback? Do they go with Mordecai? Do they go with Allen? Do they go with Dobbs? Do they make a trade, Grant? And if so, who do they go get?
Call up Tom Brady.
They're calling Tom Brady.
Call up Tom Brady. Call up the Falcons. Be like, look,
Kirk Cousins.
You drafted Michael Penix Jr. Do you really want Kirk Cousins? Because we'll take him.
Wow, I don't know how that would work on the cap.
I don't know if it would work financially, but at least call. But
Tom Brady,
no, call Tom and say, Tom, do you want to play quarterback one more time for a great team? And he'd say no, and then you'd be in trouble.
I don't know what the answer is.
I don't know what the answer is either. You asked a minute ago, will Lance play if Dak goes down? The thing is, they're 5-1 with Cooper Rush, so I think they'll probably give him the first crack at it since they know they can win with him, or they think they can.
Right. They love Cooper Rush. I mean, there's people walking around Dallas saying if Cooper Rush ever got in there, he'd be better than Dak. You know.
Right, which I don't know about that, but
I don't know about that either. But I'm just saying there is a bull. I'll just say this: I got a buddy who's a Cowboy fan. Cooper Rush is somebody in Dallas. I mean,
that's clearly, yeah. Okay, let's talk. Brandon Ayuk. It's July 15th. 2 years ago, Debo signed his extension on July 31st. So it's likely that the Niners will approach Brandon in the next couple of weeks with maybe a new offer. Do you think Brandon will sign it?
I do. I think he wants to play football at the end of the day, and he's going to do whatever he's got to do to agitate and to remind people that he's out there. But that's all he's got, really. I think he knows it. And I think he would rather get a deal done that's close to his number than play on the fifth-year option, roll the dice that he doesn't get seriously hurt, and then do a deal next year. I'm sure the Niners would love to make that kind of deal with him. Hey, how about this year you play on the fifth-year option, and we'll take care of you next year. But there's risk there, and there's no way to mitigate that risk. So I'm going to say it does get done. Yep. And probably around $29 million a year.
Do you think that's the 49ers strategy for taking such a long time? You give a lowball offer. You let the player stew on it, get mad, go through the five stages of grief, denial, bargaining. And then when they've lost all hope, when they've reached acceptance, you hit them with the new offer. Hey, surprise, here's more money. And the player's just so happy that they got more money that they say yes, even though it's not 100% of what they wanted. Relieved.
I mean, you and I have discussed this as well. I really believe this, and I don't have any sources, but I really believe this from being around this team, that Jed's in charge. I mean, Dr. John and Denise are in charge, but Jed, let's just give it to Jed at this point. Jed's in charge. And he is not, he's a nice guy that is nice to everybody, but he also is a very demanding businessman and business person. And he's demanding of his three-headed football heads of Parag, John, and Kyle. And I think they have to win in their area of expertise to justify their big paycheck and their value to the franchise. So for John, that means he's got to win in trades and in the draft. Kyle's got to win, period, games, and preferably championships, but more importantly, games. And Parag's got to do favorable, very team-friendly type deals. And I think they know that. I think that is real. I think Jed is really evaluating these three guys on their, you know, area. And if they don't win, that they wouldn't be around. And I think that's what drives this whole thing with Parag. I think Parag is negotiating. I think he's a really tough negotiator. I think he's a really good negotiator if you're the 49ers, because he's very tough. But I think it's all generated from the structure of, you have to please Jed by winning in your area of expertise or you're not worth having. That's my guess.
I still think that something weird is going to happen and this isn't going to get done and he's going to have to play out the fifth year option and he's going to hold out. I think here's the thing. Everyone always says the Niners have a history. They get it done eventually. But the four guys they've extended, Bosa, Debo, Kittle, Fred Warner, not quite in that order. Mm-hmm. They were all guys who were essentially irreplaceable to the 49ers, and they made it pretty clear. There's no replacing Kittle at tight end or Fred Warner at middle linebacker or Debo in the offense or Nick Bosa. The Niners have made it real clear that Brandon Ayuk is replaceable. They love him. He's really good, but they just drafted Ricky Pearsall. I mean, I don't know that they're necessarily going to bust his chops and then at the very last minute cave and say, okay, you win. We need you. We can't live without you. I don't think it's going to go that way for Brandon.
I agree. I think he caves or he plays in the fifth year option. Because
if he caved after
all
this, I'd be
disappointed. It's the owner of leverage, right? I mean, it's like leverage is reality. Somebody really has it and somebody really doesn't. And the side that really has it really controls the situation. In this situation, you can think whatever you want. The Niners have the leverage. Can't go anywhere for 3 years.
Put himself in a position where he can't cave. After all that he's done on social media and going on the pivot and explaining exactly what his position is, if he ends up like agreeing to $27 million a year with low guarantee, everyone's going to look at him sideways like, what was the deal? Thought you had higher estimation of yourself. Why didn't you just play out your rookie deal and then get it next year?
Oh, so you're saying that there might be some pressure on him to actually play on the fifth year option?
No, I pressure from me.
As opposed to
Brandon, as opposed after all that you've said and all that you've done, stand on business.
As they say. But you're saying stand on business, but show up and play on the fifth year option, not stand on business
when you have to.
You're saying hold out.
In the crude season, but show that you can still play. But if you want to sit out a month, that's your business. It's business.
Well, I don't. I mean, then it really also comes down to things start once the practices start, the control is gone. Then all of a sudden, Debo's conditioning, good, bad, or otherwise, is now part of this conversation. And the progression of two rookie receivers is now part of this conversation. And you know what I mean? And also the progression of these running backs. What if all of a sudden you show up in camp and Garendo and Schrader look like a ton and McCaffrey looks like he did last year? And you're thinking maybe we should run the ball a lot more this year with all these great runners. So I mean,
yeah, it's not like you can pass protect.
Right. Well, things could change. So that's the risk. You know, if you're Ayuk, things could change. And his leverage could change. Or things could change the other way. And Pearsall can't catch a cold. And Cowing is Danny Gray with, you know, a little bit more optimism. I mean, that's it. All of a sudden now you're Ayuk and you're like, yeah, you better pay me. So there's some risk, you know, both ways. As soon as this thing starts to have a, you know, living, breathing aspect to it.
Mark MC says, y'all are great. Can you ask Kyle what's up with the antiquated contract negotiations? His favorite response, if you know ball. You could ask, if you know contracts, why continue to do this kind of business? That is a good question. I'm over here hypothesizing as to what the Niners get out of their style of negotiations, because the last couple of years, at least with Bosa, I didn't see where they won. They used to win these negotiations. I don't know they're going to win this one. They may just divorce.
Well, that's interesting with the Bosa thing. I thought initially the Bosa thing might have been about they're really thin at defensive end. We saw how thin they were. They were every good buddy named Taco Charlton that was within 50 miles of the state of the facility got a tryout.
I forgot that Taco Charlton was a 49er for a week. I forgot.
Exactly. And they brought in other guys, and they're going to do the same thing this year because they're thin at defensive end. If Beal and Jerick Jackson aren't ready to roll. I thought maybe last year they were playing super hardball, or maybe they had talked to Bosa and just kind of agreed, hey, let's sign late, because they were trying to mitigate the risk of just, you know, injury risk to Bosa because he's so irreplaceable. But then they did wait a long time, and then he sure regressed. I mean, 18.5 down to 10.5 sacks. So that wasn't good for him, and it didn't necessarily work for them with Debo either. So I really don't love the let's get it done in the 11th hour to save a buck routine, but they seem like they prefer it. And to me, I think it's a lot about what I said before. I think there's pressure internally to win in your area, and Parag's area is contracts. So this is how he wins. This is how he justifies his spot in the organization. His spot is now includes leads and other things, right? So this is how Parag became Parag, I think.
Also, I think people don't think of the Yorks this way because the Niners are so lucrative and they're so rich, but they're not the kind of, they're not frivolous spenders. They're not the kind of family that just spends money willy-nilly. Like, they want every dollar accounted for, and they want Parag to save them as much as possible. That's why he's been with the organization longer than anyone else, because he saves them a million here and a million there, and they care.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, also, you know, I think this one's going to be interesting, because with Bosa, you can argue supply and demand. With quarterbacks, you can argue supply and demand. With receivers, there's tremendous supply. So do they play super hardball with Ayuk because they've already replaced him to some degree? With guys they've drafted. So I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, do they go to the, how far are they, you know, are both sides willing to go here? Are the Niners and Ayuk willing to start the year with him sitting at home and no trade and no nothing and just, you know, I mean, it becomes a high stakes game of chicken.
When you draft Ricky Pearsall in round one, what you're saying is, yeah, you're willing to do that. Unless he's injured or he's awful. But I mean, the first look at Ricky Pearsall, he looked solid, did he not?
No, yeah. He looks polished.
He's not Brandon Ayuk, but he looks solid.
He's an interesting receiver, I'll say that. He's a glider. Like you look at him, there's not a lot of choppiness to his running. He's like almost looks like he's running without touching the ground. And he's got great hands and he runs great routes. He gets some separation initially. Then that separation, I think, gets closed down a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see. To me, it's a Ricky Pearsall is a referendum on toughness. If he is tough, and there's a lot of people that know him a lot and say, yeah, man, this guy's got great toughness. If he really is tough, like Julian Edelman, that's a great pick. I mean, because you can already see the connection that he's got with Purdy. You can already see the route running and the stop and start and the body control. It's all there.
Okay. Sleeper picks. WNBA, I'm only doing WNBA sleeper picks these days. It's what I care about. So Angel Reese, I don't know if you're more of a points or rebounds guy. She hasn't been scoring very much recently, as you know, as everyone knows. But the rebounds, I mean, wow, 16 in the last game. She's just a machine. So how do you want to approach this one?
You know, I've always said Reese goes to the glass, and she goes to the glass hard. So I think she's going to continue her rebounding ways.
My two favorite picks on the sleeper app, Reese more on the rebounds and Clark more on the assists. Every time.
Oh, really?
She is a passing machine.
Yeah, I mean, these are two of the headliners in the league.
Although I don't see Caitlin Clark right now.
I don't think she's playing tonight.
That's really too bad because she should play all the time, but I guess she needs a night off. Fine.
They should put her on multiple teams so they could play her every night.
That's what I said. I love that.
What teams does she play for?
Alyssa Thomas. We could do points. She hasn't been scoring much recently. Or rebounds, or this is a dangerous one. This is like a par three. What are we going to do here? We got to be precise.
I don't know Alyssa's game. I'm not familiar with her game.
That doesn't matter.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'll say assists. You know, everybody likes to get their teammates involved.
And I think she's due. You know, she had 3 in the last game, but before that, 8, 9, 14. I've picked against her before and I got it wrong. So I told myself that's the last time I pick against Alyssa Thomas.
You did say that. And you've been known to say that.
I say that all the time.
You do.
You hear me muttering in the media room.
I would just say, I'm trying to tape something over here. Could you please quiet down on your WNBA?
I know. Asia Wilson, 6'4", 27, right in the middle of her prime. Tall, small, can play a little 3, a little 4. She had 17 rebounds in the last game, 18 before that, 20 before that. She doesn't mess around. Wow.
6'4".
She went 28 and 17 in the last game. And the one before that, she went 33 and 18. She's got to be the MVP. Wow.
Asia's on one right now.
Okay, what do you want to do? Points, rebounds, points, rebounds. 27.5 points, that's a lot. 12.5 rebounds, that's a lot.
Let's go over 12.5 rebounds.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, we're quite bullish on both Angel Reese and Asia Wilson's rebounding acumen. Okay, let's go one more just for fun. Brittany Griner. Definitely Brittany. Always good to find someone you've heard of. Okay.
Back in the States now.
In the States.
Doing much better these days.
Yeah, got a chip on her shoulder. And now she's going 17.5 points.
She's got tremendous perspective.
17.5. That's a lot. She's not necessarily a lock to get that at this 33, not the Brittany we remember.
What's the over under on the rebounds?
Well, she's just got points. They're not even giving her rebounds. So 17.5 points. She went for 16 in the last game and 4 the game before that. Averaging 15.
She likes her ganj because she took great chances to bring it with her on her trip. So I'm going to say she's going to lack some motivation tonight. And she'll go under that point total.
Man, you just made it really personal. I'll go less too, though. It seems this is more of a reputation pick.
I'm trying to throw a little salt and pepper on this. So people can go and watch that WNBA action tonight and feel good.
There you go. You got to have a little action on the game. But I mean, really, if it's WNBA, I'm watching one way or another. Those are my picks. I'm going to flex it. And I'm going to win. That's what I'm picking. If you want to pick, use promo code CONE or the QR code on the screen. Okay, Larry, I have another bonus question. You've never heard this one before. What does Brock Purdy need to do to silence his critics? The reason I ask, got a hell of a resume. ESPN just did a poll of executives and coaches and people around the league. Didn't make the top 10. CJ Stroud did. Seems kind of unfair considering Stroud has less of a resume than Purdy. So what does Purdy have to do?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, he's already statistically done a ton, right? So, I mean, I couldn't believe it, but I was looking at some of the numbers. Brock Purdy, since he took over for Jimmy Garoppolo in 2022, I think it was week 14, since that point, he's first in the NFL in passer rating. First in the NFL in yards per attempt, second in the NFL in touchdown passes, and fourth in the NFL in total passing yards. So he's been really, really good. He's 17-4 in the regular season. But as far as your question, I think we all know it's the same thing that Shanahan needs. And in some ways, this is why I think this relationship is going to do well together. These guys need each other, and they need the same thing. They both need that validation that's going to come only with the win in Super Bowl Sunday. And so I think in a lot of ways, Brock and John Lynch and Kyle and, you know, George Kittle and all the great players on this team, they're all tied by the same thing, which is they're going to be viewed one way without the ring in a different way with it. It's just the reality of professional life, and they all know it. And they're hungry for it. So, yeah, I think Brock's going to continue to get better, but he needs to win that Super Bowl. He needs to win on Super Bowl Sunday to shut up all the critics and he pretty much already has, let's be honest, but to really silence everybody, he's got to win on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes and no. Like, it went from like, man, this guy is a flash in the pan and a mirage, to, okay, he's a solid quarterback, but he still has the best supporting cast in football and the best coach. And I think, like, even if he wins a Super Bowl, people could still say that. Like,
well,
okay,
yeah,
but Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he needs to be the reason they win.
Yeah, like, get paid. Have sort of, like, some of the supporting cast go away and still show that you're that consistently excellent player. He may be able to do that. But I think people are always going to be more skeptical with him than they are with Jordan Love or CJ Stroud, just because, well, for obvious reasons. He was the last pick. He doesn't look like he should be elite. But there are a lot of traits that he has that people undervalue. Like the whole mobility thing with Purdy. I don't think people talk about that enough. Everyone talks about his processing, which is excellent. But it's not like he's Drew Brees. He doesn't want to get rid of the ball super fast. He's quite content to let the play drag on because he's really good at improvising. That's, to me, the best thing about him.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's like there's two great things about him. One is the quickness, which is that 1-5-4, 10-yard split. But really, the quickness kind of looks, unless you're really watching football really, really closely, it almost looks accidental. Like, here comes the defender. Oh, the quarterback got away. Oh, the quarterback didn't get away. It always looks kind of just like happenstance. But in reality, Mahomes keeps getting away, and Purdy keeps getting away.
Jimmy never got away.
Yeah, Jimmy never got away. And, you know, Prescott's not getting away now. And, you know, so
Trey Lance wasn't super elusive. Colin Kaepernick wasn't super elusive. His elusiveness is uncanny. Talking Brock.
Yeah. Yeah. Colin Kaepernick, though, was a spectacular runner.
Once he got going. Sure.
And he had a hose. But, I mean, you know, I think that's a big part of it is that, you know, the two traits. I mean, so like I see the quickness, you see the quickness, but to a lot of people, they don't really see that quickness, and they don't really think of quickness as being a major attribute of a quarterback or important.
But when
you say
he's a system quarterback, it's like that implies that he can't improv. Like Jimmy was a system quarterback. He couldn't improv. If he had to get to a second read, like good luck, something bad's going to happen. Brock, if he gets to his fourth read, maybe it's even better. If he has to go off script, maybe it's even better. I mean, Kyle's good, but I actually think Brock's better.
Well, that's kind of why a lot of people are down on Tua right now, is they don't see the processing. And with Jimmy, he didn't process very well. With Brock, he processes and he's got quickness. And those are his two really great traits. And processing, we can't see at all. Really, I mean, you can if you get a number of plays and you can see where he goes through his progressions and you can see him surveying the field. But processing is a hard thing to evaluate from the upper deck. And quickness is a tough thing to evaluate as well. So I think when those are his two best traits, I think that's a big part of it. And then also these weapons and Shanahan and the defense has, you know, outshines the quarterback. But, I mean, the same thing could have been said for Walsh and Joe and the defensive players that played with Joe, like Ronnie and Carter and these other guys. So, I mean, it's, you got to win. You got to win. You got to win, and you got to be the reason that your team won.
But hold on. Like, we're so focused on arm strength. He has the ability to process defense, read defenses quickly from the pocket, and get through his progressions quickly from the pocket. It's kind of what you want from someone in the pocket. Also, he's accurate. And then on top of that, he has all this improvisational ability and scrambling ability, but he doesn't have the strongest arm. Man, that's a hell of a skill set in retrospect. Like, would you rather have that or Jared Goff, who has a hose but can't move and doesn't necessarily get through his progressions all that quickly? But if you give him time and space, he can really make some crazy throws.
Yeah, I think you got to have. I think mobility is now a trait that you have to have in the NFL. Josh Allen has it. Mahomes has it. Lamar has it. Purdy has it. Jordan Love, I think, to some degree, has it.
Stroud, Herbert, they all can move.
Yeah, you got to be able to move.
There's no Peyton Manning 2.0s on the way.
Well, otherwise, teams can just send that one time. They can send all these extra rushers at you and blow you up. And so, and also Goff, when Goff is forced to move, he starts making bad decisions with the ball and he starts throwing it inaccurately. So, and then I think the same thing with Jordan Love. I mean, Jordan Love, as soon as they flushed him, he threw across the middle late and Greenlaw picked it off, ball game. But I think Brock has got, he has to win. He has to continue to get better. And, but yeah, people don't see his, you know, Steve Young just set it up in Tahoe, I think. And he's like, hey man, the guy's an elite processor. And, that, you know, takes time to kind of make that evaluation. But Steve feels comfortable now having seen enough. And I think we're all starting to kind of feel that same way that, yeah, this we've now starting to see enough of a track record to say, you know what, this Brock Purdy guy, he's winning and it's not accidental.
He just needs to keep it going. I mean, 21 career starts isn't enough. And the, what really hurts him, not hurt him, but like what maybe gives people pause is Jimmy. Jimmy was 18-3. His numbers weren't as good, but he didn't play with Ayuk and McCaffrey. Like, his resume was really good, and he took over a really bad team, and he couldn't keep it going. In fact, he got completely and utterly exposed. So all he has to do is show that that's not going to happen to him. Just keep it, be consistent for the next few years.
You know,
whether you've won a Super Bowl or not.
Niner fans have this for two guys, because Kaepernick started hot and petered out, and then of course, eventually got blackballed. And Garoppolo started hot and, you know, regressed significantly. I think there's a lot of 49er fans that are really waiting for Brock to peter out because they were burned by those two guys. And they're not going to trust until Purdy wins the Super Bowl because they thought Cap was going to be the guy. And they weren't the only ones. Jaworski say he's like once in every 25 year type quarterback. And he was, you know, so a lot of people thought he was special. A lot of people thought Jimmy was special. They bought jerseys. They got burned. And now they're very, very cautious.
What does Kyle Shanahan have to do to silence his critics who are getting louder?
Yeah. I think he needs to win. And he needs to win the Super Bowl.
Simple as that.
And then it's simple as that. But it's
simple
not
as that.
Just, it's also, I think he's got to show that he doesn't make uncharacteristic, odd decisions in pressure moments, because we're now starting to see a series of decisions that we could question or at least discuss in pressure moments. And it's making people wonder, hey, does the pressure moment bother Kyle? Is he such a routine guy? Is he such a feel guy that sometimes the highest pressure moments, he can't get comfortable? I don't know. I'm not sure what to say about that, but he didn't make some of the right, made the wrong call on the challenge in Philly. Right. The overtime thing, was not a great moment. Did not make him look good in this last Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, how much of it? And then other times I feel like, you know, Grant, we're too hard on Kyle, because in reality, Kyle, what game should he have won? Should Jimmy and the Niners have beaten Stafford and the Rams in L.A.? Should Josh Johnson and the Niners have beaten Philly in Phily? Should Kyle and the Niners with Garoppolo have beaten Andy Reid and that explosive offensive team with Tyreek Hill that beat them in the Super Bowl? And should Purdy have beaten Reed and Mahomes, who are, you know, a dynasty at this point, as far as head coaching combo? I mean, it's like Kyle hasn't gotten it done, but I don't know that he's got that moment that right there. Like, if he had lost to Detroit, I think that would have been hell to pay. There would have been hell to pay, but I don't see the loss on his resume yet that I'm like, absolute gaffe. I mean, you know, I can make an argument that he shouldn't have won any of those games.
I mean, giving up a 25-point lead in the second half is a gaffe.
No doubt. But it wasn't technically his team. That was on Dan Dan Quinn's ledger. But I hear you. That is the worst one. But still, at the end of the day, you lost to Tom Brady in the Dynasty Patriots with Matt Ryan and Dan Quinn. I agree with you, though. I mean, you got to finish that game. You're
if he wins a Super Bowl, he has no more critics. If he wins a Super Bowl, it's over. All that stuff is over. He's an all-time great. But until then, yeah, he's going to have people saying, yeah, but. Because the thing with Kyle is like, look, is he an offensive genius? He's one of the best offensive coaches in the league. And what makes him so good, I think, is deception. In the sense that when the quarterback's under center, you don't know if it's a run or a pass. And when he drops back, it's going to be a play action pass. And it's the runs look like the play action passes. And he really keeps defenses on their heels.
Yep.
But at a certain time, if you're the best team with the best players, you should be able to impose your will. It shouldn't all be about deception. There should be times up 10 in a Super Bowl in the second half where you can run and they know you're going to run. Or you can pass and they know you're going to pass. Because if you're always trying to counter what you think they're expecting, then you get in your own head at the end of the season and you start doing weird stuff, which he's done over and over and over and over again. So I'd like to see him. Well, I mean, it comes back to his not wanting to invest in the offensive line. If you don't invest in an offensive line, it's hard to impose your will as an offense and you're constantly trying to trick the other team or catch them off guard, which you shouldn't have to do when you have six all pros in your freaking offense, plus an MVP candidate at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be able to get the ball. If you're an offensive guru that's considered to be the best of his era, and he's right there with Reed, you got to be able to get the ball to your key guys, your money guys, when the money's on the table. When the Rams got down against the Niners in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game, Stafford found a way to go to Cooper Kupp. You know, when the Chiefs got down in Super Bowl 54, they found a way to get the ball from Mahomes to Tyreek Hill. The Niners couldn't get the ball to Debo in the second half of that game, couldn't get the deep ball to Debo at all in the final 13 minutes of the Ram game. And, you know, that was a major problem. And to me, you know, it's like at some point you can't allow opposing defenses to take away your best offensive players when the money's on the table. You can't take away your opponent's best offensive players. So why should your opponents be able to take away your best offensive players? It's happened a little too frequently.
One more thing too. So Kyle likes to fall back on, like when he loses these Super Bowls, he'll be like, all right, well, you know, I lost to Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, you know, like it's hard for our defenses to hold these guys down. And, you know, I'm not sort of implying it was Dan Quinn's fault or Robert Saleh's fault or Steve Wilkes' fault. But in his three Super Bowl, what's that?
What was the score on Super Bowl Sunday?
That's what I'm saying. Like in his Super Bowls, like his offense put up 21 points in Atlanta. They got a pick six. That was 28. So 21 in Atlanta, then 20 with Jimmy, and then 19 in regulation with Brock, and then an extra three in overtime. So I mean, not just winning in the Super Bowl, but like a signature offensive performance. Remember his dad with the Niners, what they score 49? What was it? 50 something?
Well, they scored six touchdowns and he wanted eight.
Where is that?
Yeah. Where is that? Well, it's like we did see that with that Falcon team. To me, if you said to Shanahan, what's the best offense you had? It was that Falcon team that averaged like 8.2 yards per play on first down. With Julio and Tevin Coleman and all those guys, wasn't it Tony Gonzalez and wasn't it his first year there, or his?
It was his second year there, but yeah, I mean, he had Tevin Coleman. He had Austin
Florida
Hooper.
State. The Florida State running back was there as well with Coleman. Yes.
Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, Devontae Freeman.
Mohamed Sanu.
Roddy White.
No, and they got rid of Roddy White the year before that. It was Taylor.
Well, it was Julio Jones. Julio Jones.
And who was the fast guy? I was like 5'7".
Taylor Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel. Austin Hooper. The other tight end from Stanford who played for the Levine Toilolo. I remember that team like it was just yesterday.
So that team had a ton of yards on first down. One of the great. I think that they set the record for first down yardage. That team was incredibly explosive. This team he had last year was incredibly explosive. They just, they fumbled in the red zone. I mean, they made mistakes. They made mistakes.
Hey, you should ask Christian about that next week when we get back. Hey, Christian, it's been a few more weeks since I've asked you about that fumble. How's that sitting with you?
Yeah, I mean,
I still love that. That was so good.
What'd you think of how'd you feel about the way Brock was pictured at your wedding? Started asking.
Okay, I got one more thing. I want to go to Ayuk one more time.
Why didn't you invite Cam Newton? Why exactly? That would be a lot of fun. That would be a great question.
We just want to ask you about your wedding. How about that?
I wouldn't have invited Cam Newton either.
It occurred to me that with Ayuk, look at what's happening in Cincinnati. T. Higgins was in the same draft. He wasn't a first-round pick. He was the first pick in the second round.
Right.
But Cincinnati didn't extend his deal. They extended Jamar Chase's deal, and they've since franchise-tagged T. Higgins. So he's essentially playing on an expensive fifth-year option. Is there any reason to think the Niners won't do the same thing unless Ayuk caves and meets them at their price?
No. That's the way it's going down. Because here's the thing. Is now the ideal time for the 49ers to do this deal with Ayuk? No. What if Debo outplays him this year? And then now you're tied to Ayuk. What if Cowing and Pearsall are literally Jerry Rice and Randy Moss? I mean, what if those guys are just awesome? I'm not saying they are, but I'm just saying. We don't know what they are. So why would you want to commit yourself to Ayuk now, when you could have him play on the fifth-year option, and next year when you got to pay Purdy, and now you got another year to look at what is Cowing? I mean, I'll say this. If you right now you make this decision, you don't know what Cowing and Pearsall is or are. What are those guys going to be next year? You know, if we knew what this year was going to be like, I think there's a chance that both these guys contribute significantly. Well, if they do, that changes the whole Niner wide receiver equation. So I think in some ways it's in the Niners' best interest to have Ayuk play on the fifth-year option and just push everything to next year. I think it makes more sense to do it that way. Then you'll know next year what Pearsall is, what Cowing is, what kind of year Debo had, what Purdy wants, how old is Trent, how old is Kittle, you know, actual age at the end of the year. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can – a lot of advantages to waiting.
Also for Ayuk, I mean, assuming he doesn't get injured and he has another Ayuk caliber season, he'll make more money too. So,
yeah,
I think that's what's going to happen.
I mean, you gambled on yourself this year and you got yourself in a better financial situation. In some ways, you could argue that the receiver market, none of these markets are going down. So it's like, if you're just patient, it's all just a question of how good of a Lloyd's of London security, insurance policy can you take out on your body, right? What are the rates? What are you paying? You know, it's a big numbers game. It's like, I'm sure these guys insure themselves, right? So it's about, what are you going to make if you got the big money bag deal now, as opposed to what would it cost to insure yourself that you got something close to that if you blow out your Achilles this year? So, you know what I'm saying? It's like I would imagine Ayuk would take out a big insurance policy if he's going to play on the fifth-year option.
Yeah.
To protect himself in case, because what if he blows out an Achilles? And then all of a sudden,
he needs to do that.
You know, I mean, so he will probably get in it, but, you know, sometimes the rates are expensive, and sometimes these guys gamble and they don't do that. But, you know, that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to, And that is in the Niners' best interest. It's probably not in his best interest, or he takes what they're offering, which sounds like it's $26-27 million, and he probably wants $30-31 million, maybe 32.
Mark MC says, sorry, last one. Did Niners win the offseason? Didn't figure out the BA situation. O-line worse. Missed out on linebacker they wanted. Run D better. Huff and Dre not 100%. Took a slot receiver in first round. I don't think they're better on paper than they were last year. I don't.
Why are they not better than last year? Who do they have? Who do they lose from last year? Armstead was
a big part of their run defense.
Okay. Maybe Greenlaw, I guess. Greenlaw.
I mean, their backup quarterback was better.
They didn't use him at all until the end. I mean,
Hufanga and Greenlaw not being back yet could hurt, but those guys coming back would definitely help.
I think their situation, I think their roster might be a little bit better. Did they win the offseason? Well, you're, you mean against other teams, right? I would say probably other, I mean, you know, Detroit needed some DBs. They got like five good defensive backs. So they probably did pretty well. They also needed some D linemen. They got some good D linemen. So I think Detroit had a good offseason. I think Philly had a really good offseason. So I would say one of those two teams probably won the offseason. Is the O-line worse? No, I think the O-line's probably better. They're probably deeper. But they missed out on the linebacker they wanted. Who are we talking about? The old guy who went to Kendricks? I mean, yeah. That's nothing. I mean, losing out on Kendricks is no big deal. The run D, though, I think is a big one because you lost Fonga. At least as of week one, you're probably not going to have a Fonga, Greenlaw, or Armstead. And those are arguably your three best run defenders on all three levels. So that hurts. Yeah. And Dre, not 100%. I don't think he'll be back until Christmas. Huff, I think he'll be back probably by Halloween. That'd be my guess. The slot receiver, we'll see how he plays. But I would say I think they're better than they were last year. But I think Philly, Detroit, maybe Green Bay are a lot better than they were last year.
All right. I'm going to hit the links. Thanks for watching, everyone. Larry, always a pleasure.
Good to see you, man. Won't be long now. We'll be at camp a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks, 8 days. See you guys soon. Thanks for watching. Make sure you follow both Larry and I on YouTube and everywhere else that we are. Follow, but not literally. That's stalking.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.